You're listening to the Jewel City Podcast. You can join us in person Sundays at 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. We have something for all people and all ages. Or join our live stream at 10 a.m. In this podcast, we'll hear a message from Pastor Robert.
The title of the message is Failure Finds Us All. Don't quit. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't quit. Anybody in the house, has failure ever showed up in your life? Anybody? I said anybody. The rest of you is lying, right? Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, written by the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul had written over two-thirds of the New Testament. He says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now listen to what he says. But this one thing I do, that ought to draw our attention right there. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had plenty reason to be sorrowful about his past. Paul was a heathen. Paul tried to destroy Christianity. Paul was a murderer. Failure had came to his life. But he didn't quit because he got touched by the Lord. And then he began to press toward the high calling. We all, like Paul, have done things which we're not proud of. We'll say it again. We all, like Paul, have done things we're not proud of. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'll keep it to myself. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, mind your own business. Right? We all could live in the tension of what we have been. We could live that way. But because our hope is in Christ, we can let go of past guilt, past shame, and look forward to what God will help us to become. Maybe you don't follow sports too much, and really I used to, but I got frustrated with them and I don't watch a whole lot of it. Once in a while I will. In 1991 in the NFL, there was a Super Bowl game being played. And there was a kicker by the name of Scott Norwood in 1991. He was the field goal kicker. Some of you don't even know what a field goal is. You get close enough, some guy comes out, holds this little pigskin, another guy runs and he kicks it, he gets paid millions of dollars, right? It goes through the upright, you get 3 points. So the city, he's kicking, he's a kicker for Buffalo. The city of Buffalo hadn't won a major sports championship since 1965. Now here it is in 1991, and they're in the Super Bowl, and the world has their eyes on Buffalo. Buffalo is playing the New York Giants. Seconds to go in the game, enough time for one play, and Buffalo is down by 1 point. Now remember, if you kick a field goal, you get 3. Just enough time on the clock, coach, to kick that field goal and win the game. Scott Norwood is called off of the bench. Scott Norwood is not just the average football player. He's an all-pro. He's the number one scorer on his team. And he comes out knowing that there's not been a championship in their community, what I say, since 1965. This is 1991. I think it's 26 years. Snap! The ball's back, placed, kicker comes through. What do you think happened? He missed it. No good. The kick that would forever haunt Scott Norwood. How'd you like to have been him on the bus on the way home? or the airplane. He missed that kick, no redos, no second chances. He had to live with the consequences. Failure finds us all. You hear me? Failure finds us all. When you lost your job, wow, failure. When you flunked your exam, that'd be me. Don't you flunk yours. Pastor Eric's going to college online, Liberty University. Failure finds us all when you drop out of school. My daddy's senior year, the week of graduation, I don't know exactly what did happen, but he was walking down the hall heading for the door. He's going to leave, and the principal's calling his name. Bob, come back here. Nah, Dad just walked on out the door and went home. Never graduated, but he didn't quit. And he raised us, and he did great things in his life. Failure finds us all. Failure when your marriage begins to go south. Failure finds us all. Don't quit. Don't quit. When your business went broke, failure finds us all. Don't quit. Do you hear me? And then you begin to hear them voices in your head. It talks to you and runs you down. Maybe you start to hear the voices of people around you. Don't quit. Maybe you don't know how to succeed at failing. That sounds a little crazy, doesn't it? Maybe you don't know how to succeed at failing. What am I talking about? God knows how. This whole book is written for failures. It's what it's written for. The Bible is full of folks that were foul ups, just fouled up totally. The Bible's full of people that were flops, but they got a second chance. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't be a flop. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, I think it's too late. I'm just joking. All right. David was a moral failure. David committed adultery. Most of us know the story. Then she became with child. David tried to cover it up and actually, really, when you look at it, had her husband murdered, right? Failure showed up in David's life. But then the Bible teaches us he became a man after God's own heart. Don't quit. Somebody say, don't quit. Jonah was in the belly of a fish when he prayed his most honest prayer. If you don't know the story, God called Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach to a wicked group of people and to bring revival that many people would be saved. And Jonah was disobedient. Anybody ever been disobedient in the house? I don't think so. Probably just me, right? And Jonah went the opposite way to Tarshish and paid, got on a ship, and ended up in the water, and a big old fish swallowed him up. Failure showed up in his life, but don't quit. Listen to Jonah chapter 2, verse 2. He said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. And out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and the waves passed over me. And then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Now listen to this. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Yet I will look again. Don't quit. Look again to God. Do you hear what I'm saying to you this morning? Jonah cried out to the Lord, the Bible said, by reason of my affliction. And what does that mean? When things are going well in our lives, we have a tendency to drift away from God and not have a desire to be with God until the storm shows up and we feel like we're in the belly of a big fish and nothing's going to happen. And then we cry out to God, and can And I tell you, my God loves us so much, even though we time and time again go the wrong way, God is standing there waiting and saying, come on back home, son or daughter. So I don't know what you've messed up. I don't know what failure has came in your life, but he's a God of not only one chance, two chances. He's a God of many chances, and he loves you. Give him a hand clap and a shout of praise. Verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. And then Jonah was obedient, and he went to Nineveh, and it was a great revival. God is a good God, and God is a God of second chances. You have not strayed too far from God. There is a call on some people's lives in this room. I was standing during worship, and I was thinking about people that are here this morning. There is a call on many people's lives, and you've walked away from it before, but God is still waiting for you to arise and come back. If you believe it, give God a hand clap and a shout of praise. Woo! Perfect people? No. Perfect messes? Yes. Yet God used them. God will use a mess. God uses failures. Your failure, man, I pray you get this. Your failure does not define you. Do you hear me? And your failure will not break you. God will raise you back up. God will teach you through your failure. God will use you anyhow. God didn't come for perfect people because there is no perfect people. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are not perfect. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, I think he's talking about you. Listen to me. Though you failed, God's love never fails. Do you hear me? I said, though you have failed, God's love does not fail. I didn't give this to the media, but we'll see how quick they are. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. I'm counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there it is. All right, what was that, 4? 3. Well, excuse me, all right? But is it all right to laugh at church? Seriously. I don't want to go to church to the church of the first dry bones. Don't want to go there. Romans chapter 5, first church of the dry bones. Unbelievable. Where's it? Romans 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that, listen to this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God knew we were failures. God knew we would fail. Yet, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Though you fail, God's love will never fail for you. Face your failures. Face them with faith in God's goodness. Listen to what God tells you and I. He tells us the same thing he told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. As the book of Joshua opens, the Israelites are camped along the east bank of the Jordan River at the very edge of the promised land. And they're right there, right there. And they are completing during this time the mourning period for Moses, who had just died. Now, Moses, we know, was the deliverer that brought people out of Egypt, the Israelites, and God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, but we need to remember that Moses murdered a man. Am I right? God uses failure. Now, don't go shoot somebody this afternoon, all right? 39 years earlier, the Israelites had an opportunity to enter into the promised land, but they failed to trust God. Will you leave here today failing to trust God when his promises are right in front of you? And all you got to do is step and arise. Oh my goodness. As a result, God did not allow them to enter the land, but made them wander in the wilderness until that disobedient generation died. How long are you going to wander in the wilderness when you got God's promised land right in front of you? There is no condition in the covenant, none. No fine print. God's promised land, his offer does not depend upon my perfection or your perfection. It depends upon his perfection. You and I will never get it right, 100%. We are not perfect. Do you hear me? In God's hand, no defeat is a crushing defeat. I'm not giving you permission. I'm not giving myself permission. I'm not making grace sloppy. I'm just telling you that we have failures in our lives. Someone say amen. Amen. Listen to what Psalms chapter 37, verse 23 says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Wow. It is essential, I believe this, that you understand and you get this verse. Don't miss this truth, because if you miss this truth, you'll miss your new beginning. And there's been times in my life where I had to have a new beginning. And by television and by live stream this morning and by almost a packed house, I'm telling you, there is people within my voice that can hear me right now that you need a new beginning. And the devil has a hold on you. He's got a grip on your mind. He don't want you to step across into the promised land of God. He wants you to just tune me out, tune the Holy Spirit out. He wants you to get up and walk out that door and go back to the world, the same person that came in. But by God's grace today, and the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I believe that you'll surrender and give your heart to God. Somebody give him a hand clap and a shout of praise. Don't miss this verse. You'll miss your new beginning. Don't look back, as Paul said. Look forward. I want to read it again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. It is essential that you get this. You must believe God's grace is greater than your failure. I'd have never dreamed that God could use me. Never dreamed it. Run around and hide in this bar and that bar because I didn't want mom and dad to know what I was doing, and in sin all the time, messed up. But in God's grace, God said, in your failure, my grace is sufficient. In your failure, I'll lift you back up. Do you hear me? And what God has done for me, he'll do for you. Has God lifted anybody out of the slop and the mire? Give God a hand clap and a shout. Is there any people in God's house that could testify to those that may not know God, that God swept in, God touched you, he brought you out of addiction, he brought you out of drugs, he brought you out of the bar that you used to own, that you don't own no more? Is there anybody on this side could stand up and say, I was a filthy, wretched sinner, but God showed up and touched my heart? Give him a hand clap and a shout of praise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Woo! Sit down, let me preach. Build your foundation on promises, not on the culture and the sick world that we live in. It changes. It'll change tomorrow, but God will never change. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Isn't it amazing how people still want to tell you what your failures were? Isn't it amazing 40, 50 years down the road, people still tell you how you messed up like you need reminded? That's when you want to say, mind your own business. But you don't. You want to lay hands on them and pray. Jesus. Got a little squeal there, didn't I? Hey, man. Sometimes we need to mind our own business. I need to mind my own business right now and preach, right? I got to read it again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now listen, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The flesh, as used throughout this chapter, does not refer to our human bodies, but to the principle and the power of sin. And let me tell you, sin's got power. Sin's got power. And when you start to dabble in sin, it tastes so good, man. And the devil never tells you how you'll end up. He'll never tell you you'll be a full-fledged drug addict living underneath a bridge. He'll never tell you you'll end up being an alcoholic and run into some innocent family and kill them, and you'll spend your life in prison and your family's destroyed. He won't tell you those things, but I will. But I will. Not guilty. No condemnation. Not guilty. Let him go. If you were on death row, what would those words mean to you? The fact is, the whole human race is on death row. And the only way we can hear, not guilty, let him go, is through Jesus Christ. Now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Fact is, the whole human race is on death row. In Christ alone, the song says, we're not guilty. Everyone stumbles. Everyone. Maybe that's a nice word. Everyone fails. Maybe that's a nice way to put it. Truth is, we all sin. Those who find grace do so because they walk according to the Spirit. It says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So those that walk according to the Spirit, what do you mean? They hear God's voice. They make a deliberate decision to stand up and say, God, I'm guilty and I failed. And now, God, I'm going to lean in to your amazing grace. You know what I thought during worship, Pastor Eric and Pastor Carrie? You guys had no idea that I was going to talk right there about grace. And Carrie, if you remember, said, we're going to go off our plan here a little bit. And they started singing Amazing Grace. It is so amazing, I can't define it. Nobody can define it. And that's what is available for each one of you today. Do you hear me? Lean in. Hear God's voice and lean in. In Joshua chapter 8, verse 1, I'm going to paraphrase, will not be long. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. He always says that. The Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Arise and go. Last couple days, I've had some anxiety and hadn't had for a long time, really. I don't know, just nervous and anxiety and a couple things going on. And to be honest, God, just perfectly honest with you, I really didn't even want to come in here today. I'm just being truthful. You can look at me down your long religious nose and, well, you're our pastor. Well, your pastor puts his pants on the same way you do. One leg at a time. Now I sit down and do it because I lose my balance, right? I'm not that bad yet. But the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Arise and go. Sometimes you got to get up and then you got to go, you know. Let me close this out by talking about the prodigal son. He kind of did this. Luke chapter 15, verse 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father. I have sinned against heaven and before you. I want you to remember this story. There was two young sons, and the youngest one, he was greedy, you know. And most time, you didn't get your inheritance until your father passed away. But he asked for his inheritance ahead of time. And during this time, the younger son got a third, and the older son would get two-thirds. And the Bible says that he took his. How disrespectful to go to his father and treat him like that, you know. And then take his money. And the Bible says that he just lived wild. you know. I can imagine, man, he was partying. The devil showed him, you know, he was doing the two-step down at the sagebrush roundup. And just thought I'd throw that in there at you last night. You know, no, ain't nothing wrong with that. Listen, and I'd say he had all kind of friends, Darlene. Sooner or later, the rubber will meet the road. And the Bible says that he was feeding the pigs. This is a Jewish young man. According to Moses' law, at that time, pigs were unclean. You couldn't sacrifice them, you couldn't eat them, and you couldn't touch them. And what's he doing? He's feeding them. And he had gotten so low that he's in the pig's pen, and that pig slop smelt like sirloin steak. And he thought, man, what is going on with me? How far do you got to go before you say to yourself, my father's servants are eating better than I am? And get up out of the pig's pen. You know, it's terrible to land in a pig's pen, but it's stupid to stay there. I've landed in a pig's pen more than once in my life, but I didn't stay there. Stand with me this morning. I'm going to be real honest with you. Be real quiet, would you please? Try to stand still. I'm going to be 100% honest. It often takes a great tragedy, a great time of sorrow, to cause people to look to the only one that can help them. You need to stop, and you need to look before you hit rock bottom. If you'll stop and look where you're at and say, I'm going to the Father, you'll save yourself and your family a lot of grief and a lot of pain. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He ended up in a pig pen, fed hogs for a living. What pig pen are you in today? Oh, nobody knows, but you're locked up behind that computer watching pornography. Nobody knows, you know, you got that secret place on your phone where you can text that girl or that guy that your wife or your husband don't know about. What is it, Rusty? Done in the dark, comes out in the light, doesn't it? You're at your job and you're taking a few things home with you that don't belong to you. You better stop and think. You better stop and look. Here's another one I'll throw out at you. You fall over dead today and you know you don't know Jesus. That's a failure in your life, and it's like the field goal kicker. You don't get a second chance. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? How about the band coming? Yeah, okay, thank you guys. Let me read it again. And when he came to himself, I pray you come to yourself today. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I will arise and go to my father. You remember what God told Joshua? He said, arise and go. And here the man in the pig's pen said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. In verse 18, he made a decision that changed his life forever. I made that decision 40 years ago. He said, I will arise and go to my father. Listen to me, everyone in here, you can do that. You can do that. No matter what you've done in life, no matter how many failures, maybe your zip code says failure on it. I don't know. Maybe it's followed you all your life. Perhaps you can't undo the damage that you've done, but you can arise and go to your Heavenly Father. Don't stay there. Don't be stupid and stay there. Begin again, rise up and step out. Even the Apostle Paul had to make this choice. We started out, listen, in verse 13 and 14 of Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I say this, and then I'm going to give the invitation after they sing this song. There's no future, no future at all in the past. You cannot change yesterday. You cannot change your failures. You cannot change anything about yesterday, but you can do something about tomorrow. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And I'll not come to you and I'm not going to single you out. But I remember when I was sitting in the church on the back row with alcohol on my breath, and the man of God said, if you was to die today, would heaven be your home? And I knew my answer was no. And I tell you, the wind blew from heaven. The Spirit of God convicted me. And I said, Lord, I'm going to arise. I'm coming to you, God. God was waiting on me with open arms. Listen, I've failed. I've fallen short many times since then. But my name is written in heaven, and I'm in the palm of my Father's hand. And no man can pluck me out of that. And I want you to leave today knowing that Jesus is your King. Every head bowed again. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. There's nothing embarrassing about it. But today, right where you're at, from the oldest to the youngest, that understands that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, and you'd like to surrender. You'd like not to be on the edge of the promised land. You'd like to step into the promises of God. You'd like to have your name written down in heaven. You'd like to have the peace of God. You'd like to walk with God and grow with God. Would you slip your hand up real high? Slip your hand up real high. Please, don't tarry. I see your hands. Somebody else, somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. Put your hand up high. Put your hand, I see your hand, sir. Somebody else, somebody else. Somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. I'll see your hand, ma'am. Somebody else, I'll see your hand. Thank you. Somebody else, somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. The greatest question that will ever be asked to you, what will you do with Jesus? Will you accept him? Is there another this morning? Is there another? Is there another this morning? I see your hand, ma'am, right here in the front. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Somebody else. Somebody else. Yes, I see your hand. Thank you. Yes, sometimes we get in a hurry. God sees your heart. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, today I surrender. I acknowledge that I've sinned, that I've come short of your glory. And Father, I ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross for me. Jesus, I thank you for shedding your blood for me, for my sins. And Lord, from this day forward, I commit my life to walk with you and to learn about you. I ask you to forgive me. In Jesus' name I pray. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God.
Thank you for listening to the Jewel City Podcast. You can join us in person Sundays at 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. We have something for all people and all ages. Or join our live stream at 10 a.m.